Father, we thank you and we glorify you. We magnify this day. We understand the gravity, and we're beginning to more so understand the times and seasons that we're in and where you are directing and guiding us and instructing us. So, Father, we ask, we prepare our hearts and our minds by asking you to forgive us for sin, iniquity, and transgression. We choose, Father, so as not to give an opportunity for the devil. We choose to forgive others of their sins and iniquities and transgression against us and our family. We also make a quality decision to forgive ourselves. We thank you for fulfilling all of what you have called for in us. So we get out of the way so that you can begin to allow what you have implanted in us from birth can begin to manifest and do the great works that you called for in this day, in this season. Help us by your Spirit and by your Word. Guide us, instruct us, and keep us is our prayer today. As you begin to teach us in Yahushua's name, amen and amen. I will definitely pass it back to you, Pastor Audrey. I'm just really sensing a somberness in where the Father's wanting to go and a Father's heart of instructing his son, you know, instructing his children to prepare us for what is about to befall this earth. Back to you, sir.
Amen. Before I do the recap, we're going to go ahead and have our opening blessing with Pastor Doug, our before Torah study blessing.
Ruhata Yehua Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Arshur Kishanu B'mitzvotav Yitzanu La'asot B'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yehua, our Yah, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehua, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó absorbernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Amen. Well, as Rabbi was just mentioning, there is a sense of somberness. One, because it's a time for us to reflect and prepare ourselves, our mind, our will, and emotions for the things, as we've mentioned in our intro, that must soon take place. If you remember last week, we started off just kind of recapping what had happened in December. We had the alignment of the star. Many of you have heard as the Bethlehem star, but they call it that, based upon just some tradition, but also the Jupiter and Saturn alignment is basically more the scientific term. And this heavenly event causes us to refocus our minds on Yeshua. Regardless of whether or not it is the Bethlehem star, it is pointing us to the story and pointing us to the main character, and that is Yeshua himself. It reminds us of both his birth, his death, and his resurrection, the life of Yeshua. And the Father is helping us to recalibrate, to reset ourselves on the one that gives us the opportunity to have a relationship with him. And so we have a moment here to do one of two things. Actually, they're the same thing, but they're said differently. We have to remember, that's the positive reinforcement of what I'm about to say. And the other is do not forget, which is what we call a negative reinforcement. And if you can think of when you need to go to the store, which one do you say most often? If you forget things, you say, don't forget. But if you have a habit of keeping things in mind, you may just say, okay, I need to remember to do this. And so we need to find out, make sure that we are doing what it says and to remember and to not forget. It's a both and in this situation. But we need to remember, and I'll say it this way, we need to not forget the purpose of Yeshua in our lives. We looked at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, and it was Peter encouraging those he was instructing. He said, I want to stir up by way of remembrance these things. And so that's what we're in this mode doing, as we believe the Father is doing with us. We looked at how even Yeshua, who was a demonstration of his Father, what he saw and heard his Father doing, that is what he did. And he, in Matthew chapter 24, gave his disciples a heads up, if you will, of what they should look to, what they should expect to happen. One of the blessings that we have is that the whole entire Word of God, in a sense, is that admonition to not forget and to remember. And we have the Psalms, especially Psalms 91, showing us that we can and should be protected in these times. And we have to remember to abide under the shadow of the Almighty, which requires us to go under the shadow of His wings. Yeshua admonishes His disciples, just as we mentioned earlier in Matthew chapter 24, that no one should deceive them and lead them into error. And so this is very important as we talk about a few scriptures today. But we have to be very careful not to be deceived or to be led astray by the whipping and the bending of what happens with the emotions of the world. We must be in tune, not with the world, but with the Word, W-O-R-D. And that includes both the New and Old Testaments, because they are unified word that testify to each other and testify to the truth of who Yah is, what He is doing now in the world, and what He will do. We talked about 1 Thessalonians, wanted to make a distinction between the rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And we wanted to talk about the fact that the rapture is not the second coming, because the second coming of the Lord is with His saints. Those who are dead in Christ shall rise first, and those who remain and are alive shall be caught up to meet Him in the air. And then the Lord comes down with His thousands of thousands and sets His feet on the Mount of Olives. One thing that's important for us to remember is that our godly labor is not in vain. We will receive the reward the Father has promised us. And those who have sown wickedness will receive their reward. But we have to remember that our godly labor is not in vain. We must comfort and encourage each other in the realities of Yah's promises to us. This is exactly what the first century's saints did. And this is what we see Paul and Peter doing as they stir up in remembrance what God has done, what He is doing in their time and in our time, and what He will do. Now, we are at the latter portion of this playbook, if you will, scripture. We are finding ourselves in the story as it has been written. I'm about to say as it's being written, but as it has been written, and as we see fulfilling the prophecies of long ago. But as long as we do what the playbook says, we will find ourselves in victory. This is our time to focus on Him and do what He has called us to do. We cannot do what He's called us to do until we are what He has called us to be in Him. So this is, again, that remember. Don't forget what God has spoken to you and who you are created to be. Because this is now, more than ever, the time when we are to shine and to rise up and to be all that we were created to be. We looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 58. Again, our work in the Lord is not in vain. It is never wasted. We must continue to excel and to do our best, knowing that we have this present hope in our being. We must be ready to speak the Hebraic gospel, to share the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God. We must know where our hope and our desire are. And I think that this is a time when we're having that, by the grace of God, having the moments of saying, okay, where is my hope? Where has my focus been? And God's allowing us to recalibrate ourselves and align ourselves to His heart. The things in this world are temporal, but where we are going to be with Him is eternal. And we must understand where we are in God's playbook and what He is expecting of us. Now, we did transition to Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 through 16, and we saw the glimpse of 144,000, the virgin DNA Israelis, young men who are going to be ministering the gospel. The Hebraic gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the ends of the earth, and this is part of the end call. One of the things we are having to look at is make sure that we understand what the Father is doing and how we can be in line with Him. And the one way to check that, again, is going back to the Word. Again, I said both Old and New Testament. It surprises me when I find a translation and it's only New Testament. I said, wait a second, you've lost the foundation. We can't afford to lose our foundation, especially as the world is shaken. We need to make sure that we are grounded and founded on the rock and in His Word. We must reset ourselves to align ourselves with the purposes of God. ensuring that we are suited in his armor, ready and standing firm. And as we mentioned before, Yeshua prepared his disciples for catastrophic events, and likewise, we ought to take heed from what he said to them. This is when we transition to the events that take place in Revelation chapter 6, verse 12, and go all the way up to Revelation chapter 7, verses 17. So again, Revelation chapter 6, starting with verse 12, all the way through chapter 17 to through chapter 7, verse 17 of chapter 7. As the sixth seal opens, and as it happens, we're close, but we're not there yet, because when you look at this chapter, the things that are happening, it's like we're hearing the faint sounds of these things, but they have not happened yet. We can't allow our faith to fall or to go low. We can't lose heart. When we see these things take place, we know that the rapture is close to coming, and that's one source of hope, one source of expectation, something to give us our heart's joy, knowing that we'll be caught up with him. And we see in this section also the great multitude was raptured from the great tribulation. As John said, or the angel said to him, "Who are these dressed in white?" And John turned to him and said, "Sir, you know." He said, "These are they which have been brought out," I'm paraphrasing, "brought out or raptured from the great tribulation." And we also want to be reminded of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and verse 9, where it says that we are not appointed to wrath, but will be saved from the hour of temptation. And just as Peter said, we want to encourage one another in these things. It's not to make us fearful, but to be encouraged. Okay? I want to read that again so I don't misquote that. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." And that's from the King James Version. So on that note, Rabbi, I want to pass it back to you, and we'll continue our study for today. Rabbi?
Amen. One of the last verses that I felt we needed to cover before we begin the transition is found also in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, and we're going to be reading the account of the Philadelphia church. In chapter 7, verse 7 through 13, chapter 3. And this helps to culminate what we've already been talking about from last weekend and the recap that was given by Pastor Andre. We need to understand that as all of this is transpiring in this sixth seal, which we have not, as already been stated, we have not crossed that envelope yet. We have not transitioned yet. There's going to be a tremendous heavenly event, if you will, in the heavens. There's that will mark the sixth seal opening, which has already been discussed, but we need to understand this. This particular part of what we are discussing and what we're going to be going into is assuring you and me that we be not ignorant of these things. And the reason why, as already was stated, is Yeshua has already made a statement that we have to make sure it does not apply to us. And that is when he returns, will he find faith on the earth? Now, that's a horrendous statement from our Savior, from our Lord, from our husband, spiritually speaking. So, in order for that to happen, there has to be a situation where you and I don't recall, don't keep ourselves in remembrance. And that's what we're endeavoring to do, not just for you, but for us. This is as much, if not more so, for us as it is for you. Because and I've stated this before, but maybe we need to hear it a few more times. when catastrophic things are happening on a global scale, or what some would call a macro scale, that is the very time when the most important emphasis that you should be focusing on at this particular time, that I should be focusing on, is our micro. That's when our micro needs to be, as Yeshua has said, pertaining to his church. It has to be without spot or wrinkle. Now, he said that through Paul in Ephesians. But the point still remains. That's when you and I have to make sure we get so ingrained with washing and purging and cleansing and repenting and reconciling and making sure there's nothing out there that's within us that needs to be addressed in such a way to where the mind, the will, and emotions no longer are attached to it. So let's take a look at Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7 through 13 as we conclude this aspect of what we were discussing on last week. That's right. Yeah.
Starting with verse 7, and I'm reading from King James. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. He that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man may take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name." Verse 13, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And for the Amplified,
amen.
Would you like me to
continue? Yes, sir.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yes, I would.
Okay. Verse 7, Amplified. "And to the angel, messenger of the assembly, or church, in Philadelphia write, these are the words of the Holy One, the true One, he who has the key of David, who opens and no one shall shut, who shuts and no one shall open. I know your record of works and what you're doing. See, I have set before you a door wide open, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and guarded my message and have not renounced or denied my name. Take note, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet and learn and acknowledge that I have loved you. Because you have guarded and kept my word of patient endurance, have held fast the lesson of my patience with the expectant endurance that I give you, I also will keep you safe from the hour of trial, testing, which is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell upon the earth. I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, so that no one may rob you and deprive you of your crown. He who overcomes is victorious. I will make him a pillar in the sanctuary of my God. He shall never be put out of it or go out of it. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which descends from my God out of heaven, and my own new name." Verse 13 here. He who can hear, let him listen and heed what the Spirit says to the assemblies of the churches.
Amen. The heaviness of what was shared, the understanding of what the Father is saying through Yeshua to the Apostle Paul, or correction, Apostle John. He's letting us know, he's letting you know how important it is for us to be ready, for us to ensure that we hold on and be steadfast, unmovable in the works of the Lord, in the patience that the saints are called to. That this door, obviously, that he's talking about here is the rapture. And he's giving us strong implications of when this will happen. And that the wrath, as was already stated, 1 Thessalonians 5:9, also found in 1 Thessalonians 1:9-10, that the wrath is not appointed to the bride. So the Father is saying to these individuals of the Philadelphia church, you are qualifying yourself as brides. You will not be caught up in the wrath in the hour of temptation when it affects the whole entire world. Now, understand, some would say, well, okay, what about the coronavirus? Isn't that affecting the whole entire world? Yes, it is. But this is not God's doing. This is not the wrath of God. This is the ploy of the enemy. This is him and his part of the playbook that he has to do quickly before the fulfillment of the fullness of the playbook of God manifests. We need to understand that. We need to make sure that we are prepared and not ignorant to that. Pastor Andre, if you could go to 2 Peter, I believe it's 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're looking at, go here and check my notes just to make sure I don't go too far, but verse 8 through 14, that's 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 14. And as he gets ready to read that, I want everyone to understand that we're still talking about not being ignorant. This is the time and the season for all of us. You know, I am definitely not excluded in this at all, where all of us have to really work on our micro in order to make sure that we are without spot or wrinkle, so that we are prepared and ready as the church singular, not plural, but the church singular. Can't stress that enough. That the Father is ready to be introduced to by Yeshua. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 14, pertaining to not being ignorant. Go ahead, sir.
Amen. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the day, the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. I'm going to go ahead and read that in the Amplified as well here. Starting again with verse 8. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, if you're joining with us now. Nevertheless, do not let this one fact escape you, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord does not delay, and is not tardy or slow about what he promises, according to some people's conception of slowness, but he is long-suffering, extraordinarily patient toward you, not desiring that any should perish, but that all should turn to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will vanish, pass away, with a thunderous crash, and the material elements of the universe will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and the works that are upon it will be burned up. Since all these things are thus in the process of being dissolved, what kind of person ought each of you to be in the meanwhile, in consecrated and holy behavior, in devout and godly qualities? While you wait and earnestly long for, expect and hasten the coming of the day of God, by reason of which the flaming heavens will be dissolved, and the material elements of the universe will flare and melt with fire. But we looked for new heavens and a new earth according to his promise, in which righteousness, uprightness, freedom from sin, and standing right with God is to abide. So, beloved, since you are expecting these things, be eager to be found by him at his coming, without spot or blemish, and at peace, in serene confidence, free from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts.
Wow.
Yeah.
I tell you, reading it in the Amplified and then getting ready to share, it almost leaves you speechless, because it's so well illustrated and explained, to where it's not a whole lot more that needs to be said pertaining to that. The only thing I would say is that we need to understand that Peter was talking about the new heavens and the new earth, which we know in the timeline is towards the very end. This is after the tribulation, the greater tribulation is finished. This is after Armageddon. This is after the millennial period, the thousand-year reign of the saints here on the earth with Yeshua. This is after that. This is after the white throne of judgment, when the new heavens and the new earth manifest themselves. So he's covering a lot of territory, Peter is, in this particular passage. I mean, he really is. So I don't want us to be in a state of quandary here, because of the way he, you know, lumps so much time, futuristic time together. But I do want us to understand that he is setting the record straight. He's trying to get everybody refocused, not focused, but refocused, recalibrated, if you will. We must go through a consistent state of recalibration. We must. I woke up early, very early, this morning, and I was just sharing this with Pastor Andre before we got on the broadcast this morning. And my mind was just racing to establish the tasks or the projects that I have in the natural. And it was doing it so with precision. But the problem was the fact that I was urged by the Lord to pray. And as I was urged to pray, it kept filtering in. It just kept coming. It's like, okay, you're going to do this, and then you do that, you're going to do this, and then you do that. And I mean, it was automatic. It was on remote control. And I began to call out to the Lord because I said, Father, this is not good. This is not right. And the reason why it wasn't right is because I need to make sure, we need individually, to make sure that we're so refocused in Him to where, yes, we've got things that we must get accomplished each and every day. God, totally understand it. It's a part of this life. But when this life goes through some notable disruptions, then it should never disrupt us. It should never put us in a situation where we're perplexed or in a funk, if you will, because it's not working in the manner in which we thought that it should, or because something like, for example, the virus that just totally changes the paradoxical flow of it's a disruptor that totally changes everyone's flow, both financially, mentally, physically, spiritually, if you allow it. So it wakes you up to the reality of what was I really focusing on? What did I have within me that was the essence of what my focus was? So we must refocus. In that refocusing, we need to make sure that we understand, not be able to quote it and recite it, and I'm talking about the playbook of the devil here, but understand what things are about to be, you know, unfold or unraveled before us. That's what Yeshua did. We talked about that in Matthew chapter 24. He made sure that his disciples understood the times, the seasons, the things that were about to happen futuristically in order to sustain their faith. So that's what we're needing to have done here. Because the moment that we submit ourselves to any type of ignorance in this area, that's the moment that the adversary strikes. When he senses and realizes a weakness in us. Most of you have been attacked by him or by his demonic realm, and you understand they do not attack unless they sense that there is a weakness, a vulnerability. So let's deal with this one. Let's expose this for what it is so that we can allow the Spirit of Yah to begin and the Word of God to shore us up in these areas. Let's go to Revelation chapter 13. Now, we were already at Revelation chapter 12, and we begin to talk about who the enemy of the devil truly is. The enemy of the devil is not the Christians. The enemy of the devil are the saints. And it gave a definition of who the saints are, who the offspring of God and offspring of Israel. The woman. There's two women, of course, mentioned in Revelation. One is the scarlet woman, and the other one is the woman that we also refer to as DNA Israeli, or Israel. So her offspring is talked about in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 17 is the one that Satan is warring against. Why? Because he doesn't have them. He doesn't have them. So we need to understand that. And then from there, we'll read and go into chapter 13. So if we could start probably at about verse 17 of chapter 12, if we could. Okay.
Already. Let's see. Oh, it didn't. Okay, I see why. Here we go. I'm going to go ahead and use my paper Bible here. All right, starting with verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, chapter 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a dragon, of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of the heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overpower them. And power was given over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Should I continue?
Yes, sir, please.
Okay. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both great and small, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their foreheads. And no man might buy or sell, and that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Rabbi?
Amen. Now, Pastor Andre, there is a tremendous amount of information here.
Yes, sir.
Before we dive into it, I want you to kind of just glean through it and just kind of give me what you were sensing from chapter 12, verse 17. And I honestly felt like as you begin to see it, you begin to realize why I went back there to go into chapter 13.
Yes. Well, what we started off saying, and you had shared, that the enemy of Hasatan, or Satan, is not the church, but, as you're saying, the saints is what you had said. And I remembered going here, it started off, it says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman. Of course, the woman here is Dina Israel. And went to make war with the remnant of her seeds, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, with those qualifications, which are the qualifications of the saints, if you will, what got me is it's like he's making war. And we've known this. We've known that we've been fighting battles, but this is the epic battle of this time. He's making war with those who hold fast to the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, the commandments of God, I should say, to be specific. And that's, you know, when you realize, hey, you're the main target, it's very sobering, you know? And that's why we're seeing such a great falling away at this very point in time, because he's not worried about those who don't really believe. And so there's going to be lots of people who are going to have this picture like, hey, things are fine with us. I don't know what you're talking about. But they're deceived. And another thing that jumped out to me, Rabbi, was the very thing that we had talked about, not being deceived. And it came out in verse 14 of chapter 13 that's the main objective. He deceives them that dwell on the earth by how the miracles are taking place and where his power comes from. That is this second beast here. But there is going to be such a catastrophic war against us, those who keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. That is part of the playbook here. And it is sobering, very sobering.
Amen. The other thing that I like that was brought out by you from the reading was the fact that we need to understand and know the distinction between those who are walking in Torah and Yeshua versus those who are walking in Yeshua or those who are walking in Torah. Because neither one of those are a threat to Satan. He's not at all threatened by that. The other huge thing, and we've talked about this when we were discussing the fruit of the Spirit. So I hope that everyone picked up on it when you read it. And that was, what is he using to deceive the world? He's using the gifts. Presumably, the gifts of the Spirit. The adversary is by no means afraid, intimidated, or in any way threatened by the gifts of the Spirit. Because he's going to use those self-same gifts, or at least the presumption of those gifts. He is in every way threatened by the fruit of the Spirit of our lives. Yeah. Because that comes totally against everything that he's about. Everything that he's trying to accomplish. If we try to go toe-to-toe with him with the gifts of the Spirit, we lose. It says the saints were given over into his hand. But if we follow the fruit of the Spirit, then we win. The fact that he's talking about the saints here should give us a good understanding that the saints are going to go through a large portion of this. Not the 3.5 years, no. But the confrontation, the struggle, the fight of a global empire trying to take over. Yes, we will be going through that. We need to understand that. And not try to think, okay, well, the rapture is going to get us out of this because, you know, we're pre-trib and, you know, it's not going to affect us. We need to stop being ignorant of that fact. We're already poised for the greater tribulation to begin to manifest. And we have individuals still waiting for the lesser tribulation, the first 3.5 years, to manifest. And it's already come and gone. We need to make sure that we begin to understand these things, because these are part of the foundations of our faith. It's part of what is going to help us to maintain the attitude of being faithful. That's what is coming under fire here. Because when things are taken, I mean, look at yourself. I'll look at myself here. The only time that my faith comes into question is when I have an experience or a situation that happens that I was not at all informed nor prepared for. And both of those are important, not one over the other. There was no information given to me so that I could be prepared. Then there was no proper preparation made so that I would know what to do and feel comfortable in doing what I need to do. Why? Because I've rehearsed it. I've rehearsed it. So if my mind, will, and emotions start to act kind of weird, my body can kick in. Why? Because the memory, the body memory, if you will begin to get me through until I can get myself, the rest of myself, together. Why? Because I practiced it. I practiced it and practiced it. So those two elements, those two attributes, Yeshua was very much aware of those. He was aware of how important it was, not just for Rabbi John, but for every single person on the earth. That's why with his disciples, he made sure that they understood. That's why Peter kept, while he was in this body, kept rehearsing it, kept bringing it back up so that people could remember why. So that when fear tries to grip you and me, that rote memorization will just kick in. The body will say, hey, I got this. I know what to do. We've been doing this. We've been practicing it. I know how this works. Most of you that have built anything, you know that first thing that you build, the very first thing, in most cases, okay, is not at the standard of excellence that you would desire it to be, but through continual use, just like it says in Hebrews 5, 13 and 14. But by continual use, you're perfected. By continual use, you begin to tweak certain things and realize, okay, this is the best way to do it, to utilize this tool and the product and all of that. And then it gets better. Then it becomes best. That's what Yeshua is wanting and desiring for us in this season and this time. Begin to rehearse these things. Begin to make note of these things. Before the COVID, before, you know, the lockdowns or any other things that may transpire, potentially even martial law, begin to get yourself prepared, prep yourself, not just prep things for the events. Yes, I'm not saying not to do that. Please get it. But more important than all of that, you need to prep yourself. Your mind, will, and emotions need to be prepped. Otherwise, I'm telling you, faith will leave you. Fear will find you. Fear will try to own you in that moment. If I have my focus, my desires, if I sense and believe and begin to realize that they're all wrapped up into the things of this world and the events of this world and the people in this world, then when it's time to begin to do like Samson and boom, shake it with the glory of God, I will not be able to do that. I will end up as he did, without the anointing to fulfill the purpose at the very moment that the purpose needed to be fulfilled. This is the time, this is the hour and the season for us. Going into their calendar of 2021, this is a time of reckoning. This is a transitional time for reckoning. There will be rules and guidelines established on this earth that will hinder, restrict, and deny access to the life that you and I once lived and enjoyed. we must make sure that the spiritual understanding, only understanding, that is our default. That must be our default, Pastor Andre. We can't go back to, oh, woe is me, because, you know, things on the earth, you know, are done. You know, my 401k is done. You know, my pension is done. My this or my that. That I was counting on. I was expecting to help take care of me is done. But what about my eternal security? What about my faith in him and knowing that with all of this ruckus and all of these things happening, that the Father God is so ready and so getting ready to take us out of what he's about to establish as far as his wrath on this earth. We're coming so much closer. When you see these things happening, when you see the Antichrist and his diabolical influences begin to manifest here on this earth, then you and I should be looking up, because our hope draws very nigh, very close. So we need to be, I need to be ready. I need to order my steps in his word. I need to ensure that I am repentant and that there is no residue between me and another. I need to make sure that this bride is without spot or blemish and prepared for her bridegroomsman, for her husband. There is nothing else more important. There's nothing else that takes more precedence. And this is something that we really have to make sure that we get and understand. And not just weekly or monthly. It's got to be day by day. And in some cases, for some of us, moment by moment.
Yeah.
Pastor Andre, I'll pass it to you for your comments and then closing this session.
Thank you. I think one of the ways to describe the feeling that I just had was when you're reading the Bible and you realize that it is, in fact, talking to you right now. That's the best way I can describe it. And one of the verses, if you don't mind me sharing, that really hit me today was from 2 Peter chapter this was chapter 3. And verse 14, I think it's just very apropos at this time of our discussion. It said, "Beloved, since you are expecting these things, be eager to be found by him at his coming, without spot or blemish, and at peace and serene confidence, free from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts." When we read this earlier from the Amplified, there wasn't much else we could say. And that's kind of how I feel at this point. Just with this verse and the discussion. But, beloved, those of you listening, this, as Rabbi has said, this is now our time to focus on the small things, what things that we may even consider insignificant in our lives, but those small things, making sure that inside of us we are prepared to meet our bridegroom. There is no other focus that is more important at this time. We have to make sure, just like as they recite the airplane emergency procedures, make sure that we have our mask on first. Yeshua even said it himself. You take care of the speck in your own eye. But with your family members, also, once you're dealing with yourself, and bring them along the journey and help them, show them how they must also prepare themselves. This is an important time, and again, one of the other things that really hit me, Rabbi, is that the Father, Yeshua, Peter, the disciples, they all, as they were sharing, they all were giving the believers a heads up so that their faith would not fail when they see the things mentioned take place. And so that's where we are, folks. So I'll leave it with that, but please go back, make sure that you not only look back at what we discussed now, but go back and look in the archives of as we led up to this point. There will come a time when things might feel like they're happening as soon as we're reading them, but while we have this time of reflection in this moment of peace, if you will, let's continue to put in practice those things which we know to be true, and to search out those things that we are investigating to see if they are true, just as the Bereans did. And then when we see and we understand and we know, then we must make the next step of faith and apply and to walk in those things which we now know to be true. I want to thank you for joining us today in this broadcast of These Be Perilous Times. We're glad that you've taken time to engage in the Word of Study with us, the study of Yah's Word. As a reminder, this broadcast is an outreach of Congregation Beth Hashem of Durham, North Carolina. If you have any questions about what we've discussed, or if you'd like to receive more information from us, you know, whether it's our weekly newsletter, or maybe you decide to just leave us a word, say, you know what, thank you, I enjoyed that broadcast today. You can email us at office@bethhashem.org. If you do email us, please leave in the subject what it's pertaining to so that we can quickly respond to those emails and answer those comments. To find out more about us, you can visit our website at bethhashem.org, and that's BETHHASHEM.org. You can find us at Facebook at facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries. And if you'd like a deeper understanding of the Hebraic roots of our faith, we have an online college. Our college, Zakkai University of Learning, offers courses in Messianic apologetics and biblical Jewish studies, and you can view our course catalog at courses.bethhashem.org. Now, if you'd like to make a donation to this ministry, you can make a contribution via Cash App, and that's www.cash.app/$BethHashem, all lowercase one word, BETHHASHEM. Or you can email a donation to our office. Excuse me, not email. You can mail. I haven't got that technology yet, but you can mail your donation to our office at 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina, 27704. And thank you for those of you who have been praying for our ministry and also giving to support us. So thank you so much. At this time, we'd like to go ahead and have our after-Torah study blessing, followed by our weekly Aaronic benediction, and then I'll pass the baton back to you, Rabbi. So at this time, I'll go ahead and pass to Pastor Doug for the after-Torah study blessing.
Baruch atah Yehuah Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu Toret emet, v'chaye olam natah bikokeinu. Baruch atah Yehuah noten haTorah. Blessed are you, Yehuah, our Yah, King of the universe, who gave us the Torah of truth and set everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehuah, giver of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehuah, nuestro Dios, rey del universo. No has dado la Torah de la verdad, y poner vida eterna en medio de nosotros, se bendiga Yehuah, dador de la Torah.
Amen. And now for Aaronic benediction, which comes from Numbers chapter 6. And it's a blessing that Yah desired for his people to have, that his name be upon them, and that his countenance be with them.
Yivarechecha Yehuah ve'yishmerecha Ya'er Yehuah paravelecha v'chunecha Yisa Yehuah panavelecha ve'yasem lecha shalom.
May Yehuah bless you and keep you. May Yahuwah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahuwah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of our Messiah Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Rabbi, back to you.
Father God, we thank you. Excuse me. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you for fulfilling your will, purposes, and we move ourselves out of a way, out of the way, our agendas, our desires that don't line up, that are not about your kingdom. Father, we establish your kingdom first and foremost in us, in our hearts, in our minds. We allow your word to begin to recalibrate, to refocus the areas and the desires that we find in our heart. Refocus what you've said and what you promised in your word. Refocus the truth and the prophetic prophecies that are still yet to come to pass. Refocus our concerns and our desires so that we are found worthy to be considered and be called overcomers, to be without spot or blemish, to be able to walk with you in the heavens, and to forever be with you and Yeshua. Refocus on areas in us so that you truly will be pleased, so that you will truly say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Refocus. In the name of Yahushua, our Savior Jesus Christ. And until next broadcast, Shalom, Shalom.